Why doesn't the Bible condemn slavery? Slavery is probably considered the greatest evil. In our culture, it's probably considered one of the greatest conceivable evils. That's the way it's treated. And yet in the Bible, it's regulated. Slave owners are given instructions about how to treat their slaves. Why aren't they just told, free your slaves? Let them go. We know God isn't bound by cultural norms. He's never shy about condemning immoral things. Even when they're accepted by the culture at the time, if they're bad, he'll call them bad in Scripture. So why doesn't he condemn slavery? The answer is, God didn't condemn the system of slavery because the system in that culture wasn't inherently evil. We think of it as evil because of the system of slavery that we know about in our culture was incredibly evil. But it's important to understand what the system was back then. A slave was someone who was legally owned by someone else. That's the definition of a slave. And there were four ways a person could become a slave. Number one, by birth. The children of slaves were automatically slaves. Number two, debt or theft. If you owed money, then you had to pay it off by being a slave sometimes. Number three, be kidnapped or captured in war, and you become a slave that way. Or number four, by selling yourself into slavery, as is mentioned in Leviticus 25 and Deuteronomy 15. Now, you hear that, say, wait a minute, why would anyone sell himself into slavery? Well, people did that because many times it was in their own best interest. It was the best move. Certain positions of slavery were actually desirable. Slaves, as a group, did not constitute a social or economic class. It wasn't like slaves were the lower class. Slaves were a widely diverse group that spanned the entire range of the socioeconomic spectrum, depending on who owned them. An upper-class slave was way above a lower-class free man, socially. In fact, some free day laborers, people who were day laborers who were free men, sold themselves into slavery to improve their situation, to gain some job security, to gain Roman citizenship, or to get an education, or to enter a life that was less strenuous, easier work, whatever. Education for slaves was encouraged. It was greatly encouraged because it made the slave worth more. Many slaves were more educated than their owners. Slaves were used for prestigious jobs. They were sea captains, musicians, secretaries, teachers, overseers, writers, agents, bailiffs, accountants, historians, even doctors. Becoming a slave was very often a great career move because there were many jobs, good jobs, that only slaves could hold. In Romans 16:23, Paul mentions Erastus, who was the city's director of public works. The Bible doesn't say anything else about Erastus, but we know from inscriptions discovered by archaeologists that this same Erastus got that prestigious position by selling himself to the city as a slave. He had to serve as a slave until age 40, and then he was freed and became a Roman citizen who could pursue a political career. This is exactly what Erastus did. He ended up being elected a Roman administrator of Corinth. And even while he was legally a slave of the city as director of public works, Erastus was probably the most socially distinguished member of the Christian congregation at Corinth. Remember Felix, who judged Paul in Acts 24? Through outside historical evidence, we know how he attained that prestigious position. He became a slave of Claudius' mother, Antonia, and after being freed, he pursued a career in politics. We see the same thing in the Old Testament, where slaves could rise to positions of great prominence and wealth, like Eleazar in Genesis 15:2 or Joseph in Genesis 39:4. So slaves at the time did not have a general sense that they were being oppressed. There were slave rebellions from time to time, but even they never sought to abolish slavery. Even when they had the slave rebellions, they weren't trying to abolish the institution. No Greek or Roman author attacked the institution of slavery, not even the ones who had been raised as slaves themselves. There was no reason to attack it because it wasn't an evil system. Now, of course, there were some cruel slave owners, but that wasn't because of the system. In fact, the Romans and the Greeks were both convinced that the slave system, or they were concerned that the slave system functioned well, and and to their advantage, and so they would provide slaves with the security of room and board. They would grant them the privileges of owning property, including owning their own slaves. They gave them the ability to make contracts, and in some cases, they were given wages and even profit sharing. They wanted to make it attractive so that the system would be workable. Slaves were valuable. An unskilled adult male was worth about 4 tons of wheat. That's a big investment for a person to make, and for that reason, slaves were kept as healthy and happy as possible. Just like employees today, the value of a slave depended on how hard he worked. And any slave owner with any brains understood that motivation was crucial. And for that reason, slave owners motivated their slaves by offering freedom. In fact, in Jesus' time, slave owners in Rome were freeing so many of their slaves that Augustus Caesar took action to slow the process down because he was concerned about the cultural impact and so many people changing their status. Still, in Rome, if you were a slave, you could pretty much count on the fact that by age 30, you'd be free in most cases. Slavery was a temporary phase of life. For Jews, slavery was an even better situation. In Old Testament law, God provided 6 different ways that a slave could be freed. Slaves could be free, could gain their freedom by redemption. That is, a slave could be purchased or could purchase himself out of slavery. Even if he had been a thief, once he made restitution, he was set free. Exodus 22, 1-4. Number 2, by the lapse of time. In Israel, the 7th year of service was brought relief from bondage. In Exodus 21, 2-4. And on the year of Jubilee, all slaves were freed. The third way you could get free, by abuse. If a master injured his slave, the slave was free. Exodus 21, 26 and following. By escape, Deuteronomy 23:15, 1 Kings 2:39 were examples. Number 5, by indifference, in case of a certain kind of female slave, or the neglect or displeasure of her master gave her the right to freedom. Exodus 21:7-11, Deuteronomy 21:14. So if they didn't get enough attention from the master, they were able to go free. And number 6, by the master's death. The master dies, you're free. Beyond that, slaves in the Old Testament were given the dignity afforded every human being based on the fact that they were considered to be in the image of God. And the laws governing kindness and respect applied to everyone without exception. Job 31:13, if I have denied justice to my men servants and maid servants when they had a grievance against me, what will I do when God confronts me? What will I answer when called to account? Did not he who made me in the womb make them? Did not the same one form us, both of us, within our mothers? So that was the attitude that the Jewish scriptures had for slaves. Jewish slaves became so accustomed to good treatment that there was a saying among the Romans, whenever one acquires a Hebrew slave, he acquires a master, because they were spoiled. Now at this point, someone might say, okay, I can see why the writers of scripture didn't speak out against the institution of slavery. But why didn't they at least condemn the abuses of slavery? The answer, they did. They did. Exodus 21:16. Anyone who kidnaps another and either sells him or still has him when he is caught must be put to death. So this idea of kidnapping people, like when the Africans were taken from Africa and brought to the United States, that was, you get the death penalty for doing that in Israel. 1 Timothy 1:9. Law is made not for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for the murderers and for adulterers and perverts, and slave traders, literally men stealers. So, were there abuses? Well, of course, just as there are abuses today in our system of employment. There are employers who will get a stranglehold on employees so they can't quit the job, and then they treat them horribly. That happens, but the existence of abuses doesn't say anything about whether the system itself is bad. Did the system invite abuse? Well, only from evil people. From good people, it invited good things. Some might say, but isn't it morally wrong for one human being to own another? No. No, the master didn't own the slave in an absolute sense, only in a limited sense. And that's actually the case in our system of employment as well. There are all kinds of contexts in which one human being will have a claim on another human being. There's one sense in which you belong to your employer, even to the degree where, in certain contexts, it may be unethical for one employer to steal an employee from another employer. A player in the NFL might belong to a certain team, and if another team wants him, they have to pay not only the player, but the team that owns rights to him. Everyone would agree that to some extent, in a relative way, it's okay for one person to have a claim on another person, provided that claim is limited and not absolute. And that's exactly the situation with slavery. The reason the idea of slavery itself is repulsive to our culture is partly because we've not been exposed to the type of system they had in the New Testament, which was very workable and, in some ways, more humane than our system of employment. For example, a slave never had to worry about food or shelter. In our system, someone can have a job and be unable to pay the rent. And other people can't even find jobs and so on. But in their system, that wasn't a problem. I haven't included all the documentation of all the various facts I've asserted in this article. If you want to see those, you can check the Anchor Bible Dictionary article on slavery.